57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, December the 11th, 2025. It is going to be a busy one today. We are loaded this morning. And, of course, we're going to get into the Sharon Moore, Michigan story. Just unbelievable, all the things that have transpired there in less than the last 24 hours. We'll have the latest. And, obviously, the innuendo, the social media speculation about Kalen DeBoer being a candidate at Michigan since Sharon Moore has been fired by the Wolverines. We'll discuss all of that. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls as well. Before we go any further, though, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Find out more at alabamacu.com, alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, it's the Thursday lineup, which means we're loaded. The coach, Ellis Johnson, at 9:30 to break down the SEC championship game and the college football playoff. 10 o'clock, D. Orlando Ledbetter live from Tampa, where the Falcons, he's flying in this morning, where the Falcons are getting ready to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight on Thursday night NFL football. And at 10:30, my pal Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor, ABC 3340. All right, we'll get some phone calls here in just a moment. First, though, the Sharon Moore story. The past 24 hours have brought a wild sequence of events for Michigan football. Head coach Sharon Moore went into the day yesterday as the head coach of the Wolverines preparing for the December 31st Citrus Bowl game. By the afternoon, he was no longer the football coach, and by last night, he was jailed. And now I don't know if he's out of jail, but Michigan fired him with cause. There is a statement that they put out that he had an inappropriate relationship with a staff member, and you can read more than that on social media. I'm not going to get into all of the innuendo and allegations and rumors, but we do know that he's been fired with cause. He was jailed. I don't know if he's still in jail, but that is a crazy situation for Michigan football. And now, of course, it means they've got a job opening. And Kalen DeBoer's name is being mentioned. Drinkwitz's name is being mentioned. There are others that are standing head coaches and a guy who is unemployed in Brian Kelly. I've seen his name mentioned. So as far as Kalen DeBoer is, let me go ahead and say this right now. I really don't know that much other than what I've read. Michigan is an incredible job, as is Alabama. These are two true blue bloods. I do think Michigan, NIL-wise, is at the top of the food chain. I don't, you know, from what I've read, I don't have any doubt that they're right there with Texas Tech and others as far as the amount of money that they can pay in NIL. I think Alabama's in good shape. I don't want to misrepresent this at all. Alabama's in good shape in NIL. I don't think that Alabama's at the top of the food chain. I think Alabama, there are schools that are paying more for NIL than Alabama is. So would that be a factor? I don't know. But right now, I know Kalen DeBoer is focused on getting his team ready for the college football playoff. And that's a week from Friday night in Norman against Oklahoma in a first-round matchup. So that's really all I know. If you want to call and discuss it, if you have thoughts on this job opening at Michigan and whether or not you think Kalen DeBoer would be interested or is interested, you're more than welcome to call in with that. But really, as I said, at this point, this is a very new process. Now, as far as Michigan is concerned, Biff Hoge will be the interim coach, former head coach at Charlotte, a couple of times on the Michigan staff. He's been an interim coach there and went 2-0 when Sharon Moore was serving a suspension for the sign-stealing deal. And I tell you what, you almost wonder if Michigan cut a deal with the devil to win that national championship and have that perfect season. Because since then, it has been one thing after another with them. Harbaugh left for the NFL. Of course, all the sign-stealing stuff. And now this deal with Sharon Moore, which is crazy. There's no other way around it. But we'll see what happens with Michigan. for Alabama, as I said yesterday, they've started their practice preparations, but media availability this week, because it's the week before the game, is limited. There will be quite a bit of media availability beginning early next week. There'll be a practice opportunity for the media. There'll be interview opportunities before they head to Norman next week. And I don't know this for sure, but people have asked me, so I'll go ahead and tell you. I need to check with either Aaron Jordan or Alex Thompson over there with Alabama Sports Information, but they probably won't leave until Thursday. This is not, you know, obviously this is not a bowl game or anything like that. This is they'll probably keep the same standard procedure that they do for any game. With this, you know, normally on a Saturday, they leave on Friday afternoon, fly. I suspect that they will fly out on Thursday afternoon and arrive in Norman and have their normal routine leading up to the game on Friday night. So we're off and running. Let's go ahead and take our first break. But we've got Mary in Atlanta and Corey in Trustful ready to go on the phone lines. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Gary Harris Show hotline. And we got another phone call coming in as well. And then at 9:30, the coach, Ellis Johnson. So phone calls in the next segment. Coach Ellis Johnson at 9:30. D. Orlando Ledbetter at 10, Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. This is the Thursday edition of the Gary Harris Show, and we'll be right back.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. A federal grand jury in Birmingham has charged Zia Ben Zhu, a 40-year-old Chinese national, with possessing counterfeit gift cards. That, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the maximum penalty is 10 years imprisonment. The arrest resulted from an investigation by the Tuscaloosa Police Department and U.S. Secret Service. Click Tuscaloosa.
Kids four-wheelers, dirt bikes, and side-by-sides for Christmas. With financing available, Redline Power Sports, Highway 43 at Tierce Patton Road in Northport.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Make unforgettable memories with incredible prices on gingerbread kits and Wondershop baking essentials. And step into the holidays only at Target. Restrictions apply.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow. Let
another
it
Christmas
snow,
classic here on the Gary Harris Show. Welcome back in. It's 9:19. We got phone calls lined up, so we're going to go ahead and start hitting them. We're going to lead off with Mary over in the ATL. Hey, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Sorry, I got kind of a little distracted. They were playing a really good Steely Dan song over the radio here at work, and it kind of caught my attention. So sorry if I chimed in a little too late.
That's okay. You're good.
There's something that was on my mind yesterday I heard in a discussion. Us as a fan base, you know, we strive for excellence as always, and we want our team to be successful and win no matter what. And I feel like it's not wrong to say that, you know, in a way, you know, we always strive to want to win a national title. And I don't think that's, you know, too broad in our thinking in a way. But considering the situation to where, you know, we're at a point to where anything can go at this point for a good run in the playoffs, at what would initially do you think satisfy us as a fan base as far as like how far we could go in this run?
Boy, that's such a tough question because it's subjective depending on the fan. But overall, I think the expectation is that, again, I hate to speak for everybody, but I think if you win one game, I mean, if you beat Oklahoma on the road, and then you were to lose to the number one overall seed, in the Rose Bowl, Indiana, I think that most people would say, based on how the season ended, that would be, you know, successful. I think if you lose, if you lose next Friday night, I think there's going to be a lot of disappointment. If you lose and you wind up 10-4 after going 9-3 last year, even though the two losses would have been in the SEC championship game and the college football playoff, if you lose the last two games of the season, I think there's going to be a really negative vibe. I do. I think Alabama fans want to win this game Friday night, particularly because of the fact that Oklahoma beat them last year. They beat them this year. And if they beat you again, that's three times they would have beaten you in 13 months. So I'm not saying satisfied is the right word, but I think people would be okay if they beat Oklahoma, even if they were to lose to Indiana.
So would it be also, I guess, in a way I could say, fair to say that, you know, beat Oklahoma, beat Indiana, even just making it to the semifinals?
Oh, I think people would be, if you're one of the final four this particular season, when you look at Alabama and if you look at the all SEC teams and you see that Alabama's got, you know, two or three players on the first team as compared to, you know, this is not, it's a talented team, but maybe it's not the talent level. It's not the talent level that we were accustomed to seeing under Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. So if you get to the national semifinals and you're one of the final four teams standing, I think most Alabama fans would be really happy with that. I think they would say, hey, man, we finished in the top four. We won two games in the playoff. That means you'd have 12 wins total. I think most Bama fans would be pretty happy with that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, at this point, I would be totally satisfied. Well, I mean, not really satisfied, happy with beating Oklahoma just because I'm starting to develop a special hatred for them. And it feels like we just can't shake losing to them. And that's kind of like, don't want to say becoming our persona, but that's just the itch that we can't scratch.
Yeah, that's funny how that works when you don't beat somebody, how you develop a dislike for them. So, hey, great call, Mary. I got to knock out some other calls, but good to hear from you, okay?
Y'all too, sir.
Thank you very much. All right, let's hit George and Macon, and then we'll get to Corey and Trustful. Hey, George.
Hey, Gary, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Just a couple of comments. I was listening to the Barry and Wimp show when they were talking about, you know, with Jack Crow about which job is better. And, you know, to me, it's not even a question. You know, first off, all the bad press that Michigan's had. Second off, they've only won one national championship in 20 years, and the coach that got them that left. And another thing, they were talking about the money involved. And don't get me wrong, a Big Ten school like Michigan, where they've had an enrollment of 20, 30, 40,000 for years, they got more money, but they don't spend their money very good. And I don't, you know, and they were saying, well, why would Kalen DeBoer want to leave? Well, the fan base of Alabama demands, but if you don't demand, you don't get. Someone told me, unless you ask, you don't get it. And of course we demand more. I mean, and we've had coaches that have won. Dubose won the SEC championship. Daggum Mike Shula, in the middle of probation, you know, went 10-1 or 10-2 and beat Florida. I mean, our fan base demands more and we normally get more. And I can't see DeBoer leaving. Now, why the odds at Las Vegas had him to be in the second choice, I don't know. But I think it's just that everybody thinks that the Alabama fan base is crazy because we demand excellence, which is not a bad thing to do at all. And as far as what would satisfy the fan base this weekend or next weekend, and I know you were there and anybody that was there that watched that debacle against Georgia, that was so disappointing. I just want us to give it a fighting choice, a chance where we have a lot of high energy. And no doubt about it, I want to win, but I want to see us at least put up a good fight. And those are kind of my comments. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of them. I agree with most of them. I definitely think the last one you had us dead on. I think Alabama fans want to feel like that Alabama goes out there to Oklahoma and lays it on the line and plays with maximum effort and shows some grit and determination and toughness and desire, regardless of what the score on the scoreboard says. I don't know that all Alabama fans feel like they saw that against Georgia. I'm not saying that Alabama didn't play hard, but I don't know that fans feel like they laid it on the line the way they expect Alabama to lay it on the line. As far as DeBoer's concerned, yeah, right now I have no idea. You know, I'm kind of reading the same things that you're reading. You know, I do, you know, if Michigan contacts his representatives, do I think there could be some interest? Yeah, I think there could be some interest. Does that mean he's going to leave Alabama for Michigan? It does not. You know, he does have a primo job. Michigan's a primo job. I agree with you as far as winning is concerned. Alabama's done more winning over the last, you know, 20 years than Michigan has, and it's not close, even with Michigan's national championship. And it's been, you know, Alabama's been the dominant program over the last 20 years in college football. But I will say this, Michigan has a lot of money, and I'm not saying that Alabama doesn't spend money. That's not what I'm saying, but Michigan has a lot of money, a lot of donor money. And, you know, sometimes that's a factor in the modern game of college football. It maybe wouldn't have been a factor 10 years ago, but 5 years ago, but now it is. And how much you have available for NIL and roster spending could be a factor. So I think that in that situation, George, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. That's about all I can say. But I think you've got some really good comments.
Thank you for taking my call. And, you know, the Clippers spend a lot of money in basketball, but they can't win.
That's a good point.
They can't evaluate.
Yeah, money. Yeah, money doesn't guarantee you that you're going to win. But but more times than not, in the current landscape of college athletics, it's a good start. That's for sure. Hey, thank you, George. Appreciate you very much. All right, let's get to Corey here in Trustful as our final caller in this segment. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thank you.
You know, trying to make sense of this Sharone Moore situation, you know, you got a man who is married that has three kids that's found out to have a relationship with a staffer, which is an affair. And then we come to find out he has an argument with his wife, storms off, puts a knife to his throat, tries to commit suicide, and then tries to attempt to kill the woman that he is having an affair with. It makes you wonder, hey.
Okay, first of all, Corey, let me say this. That is what's out there. None of that has been confirmed yet. All that's been confirmed right now is that he had an inappropriate relationship with a staff member and that he was arrested at 4:10 p.m. at the 3000 block of Ann Arbor Saline Road for the purpose of investigating alleged assault. He was taken into custody. And I'm not saying that what you're saying happened, but we don't have collaboration of that from the authorities. I want to be clear on that. What you're saying is stuff that you've read, accounts that you've read on the internet, but we don't have a police report that says all of that. I just want to be clear on that, but go ahead.
What I was trying to say was that if those reports are true, it makes you wonder if Sharone knows more, if there's more to this investigation or knows more about what's going on outside of football than we know, or if he doesn't want the girlfriend to spill the beans or something, or if something's really weird going on here, you know what I mean?
Because there is a lot going on. It is, you know, and again, I there's more to the story than what, you know, is being reported. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but that's, you know, as far as the stuff that you mentioned, the specifics of that, I can't comment on that because that is speculation. We don't have verification of all those things that you said. Maybe they happened. I'm not saying that they didn't, but I've got to deal in what we know and what the authorities are saying. And as far as the intimate details that you're laying out of what happened with Sharone Moore, I can't comment on that.
Are you nervous about DeBoer leaving for Michigan?
I don't. Nervous is not the right word. Do I think there could be some interest? Sure, I do. I think that that's what coaches have agents for, and coaches listen to, you know, overture sometimes, and Michigan is an incredible job, as is Alabama. So, but that, Corey, honestly, that's all I know. You know me, I shoot straight with you. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody that has told me he's interested. I'm just basing this really on what I have read and some things that, you know, I have heard but haven't really had specific conversations about. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if there was some mutual interest. I wouldn't. Where that leads, I don't know.
All I know is this is the most bizarre coaching carousel we've ever seen.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. If you take a look at the jobs that became available this cycle, it is unbelievable. You could have never dreamed, ever in your wildest dreams, going into the season that we would have the job openings we've had. Let's see if I can rattle them off real quick. Florida, LSU, Penn State, Michigan now, Auburn, Ole Miss. I know I'm going to leave some out. Arkansas, the SEC, Kentucky, UCLA. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on. It's crazy. You're right, Corey. I've never seen anything like it, but it's the new world of college football, man. When they're making this much money and players are making that kind of money and donors are giving that type of money to programs, they want results. And they want results quicker than they've ever wanted them in the past. And when they don't get them, they're going to make changes. That's just the new world we live in, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is not how Michigan fans wanted him. I mean, I know he's not wasn't a popular choice, but this is not how the fans wanted it to end. But for them, they'll probably get the right guy. But like I said, a very bizarre situation, that one that we all didn't see coming.
It's crazy. Hey, great call, Corey. Got to go, man. Appreciate you, my friend. It's 9:32 here on the Gary Harris Show. And a reminder that the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street downtown. What a beautiful facility. I'm got to get back in there, man. I'm feeling the results of laying off my workouts. And when I get ready to work out, I'm going to be at the Y. I'd love for you to join me. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa, ready for you when you're ready for the Y. We'll be right back with Coach Ellis Johnson.
Call the Tom Hanna Agency today for a quote at 205-462-8192 or visit alphainsurance.com/Tom Hanna today.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Coach Ellis Johnson breaking it down, getting us ready for the college football playoff, looking back at the SEC championship game. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gary.
Let's start with what we had occur in Atlanta over the weekend. The Georgia Bulldogs have had a dickens of a time beating Alabama. We know that. The only time that Kirby had beaten the Tide was when he got a second crack at them in the national championship game in 2021. He got a second crack at them this past Saturday, and I kind of had a feeling that that Georgia would get a little payback, and the Bulldogs did, 28-7. And Coach, they controlled the game. I mean, I thought they controlled the game on both lines of scrimmage. I thought I was there. I could feel it. You know how it is when you're at a game. You as a coach on the sideline, sometimes you just feel one team's got a little more juice than the other, has a little more confidence and determination. And when that game got to 14-0, I just felt like, you know, Georgia knew they were going to win the game. Alabama knew that Georgia was going to win the game. The fans knew that Georgia was going to win the game. It just felt that way, and that's what happened, 28-7. What'd you see?
Yeah, I think Georgia the last 3 to 4 or 5 weeks have been playing the best football they've played this season, and I think Alabama the last 3 or 4 weeks has not been playing as well as they had earlier in the year. And the big thing that jumps out at you is Ty Simpson had one interception and 11 touchdowns. I think he said in like the first 6 games or something. I can't remember exactly. And recently he's had 4 interceptions and 6 touchdowns. Is it Ty Simpson? I think it's the rushing game disappeared. And that's the stat that jumps out at you when you look at it from this game. -3 yards rushing to 141 rushing. And that's, you know, it's a little bit of dominance on the line of scrimmage, but they've got to get some guys healthy in the backfield and somehow find a running game, or they're going to have a difficult time in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they were banged up. There's no doubt about that. They get an opportunity now this week, maybe to get some guys back. And then, of course, next week you're going to play on a Friday night, which gives you one less day to prepare than if you were playing on Saturday. But compared to the other teams, it is a quick turnaround for Alabama. How much of an advantage is it for Oklahoma to have had an extra week to be at home and have this chance to beat Alabama for a third time in 13 months?
Well, the two things about breaks, and I really feel this way about college-age players, if you have too long off and not playing, they can kind of lose their rhythm, if you will, mm-hmm. and their execution and their sharpness. On the other hand, if you got a beat-up football team, it's an advantage to have some time off. So I don't know Oklahoma's situation. I know during the course of the year they've had a few guys, critical guys in and out, but I don't know about this time. So I think really, unless – Alabama could use this time to get some people back, I think having played is an advantage over having not played.
Okay. And next Thursday, we can really get into the individual matchups and your predictions. But let's talk about the playoff overall. Notre Dame did not get in. And let me say this to you so you can respond. I keep reading a lot about, well, they didn't get the 12 best teams. It's not about the 12 best teams. If it was about getting the 12 best teams, you wouldn't have a guarantee for a G5 team to get in. In this case, you got two. You got Tulane, you got James Madison. Listen, I think Notre Dame is one of the 12 best teams. I think Vanderbilt's one of the 12 best teams. I think you could argue that Texas is one of the 12 best teams. So that argument about, well, they didn't get 12 best teams, it's out the window to begin with. But what did you think overall of the playoff and the teams that got in and the teams that didn't?
Well, I think what it speaks to, they've got a wacky format and a wacky format, whatever you want to call it. The whole thing, the setup is just not, like you said, it does not pick the best team. And so you can't blame the committee. I blame the committee setup. I blame the stipulations or whatever you want to call it that they use to pick the teams. It was just a joke. And I'm not a playoff guy to start with. I guess I'm an old bogey, but I love the bowl system. And even the BCS, where it picked two teams, it was better than what's going on now. But that's where we are. That train's left the station. If we're going to do this, then let's go back to a formula type thing with the computers and get the humans out of it. I'm not accusing anybody of doing anything, but when you have these type of situations within the committee, you've got a SEC chairman. Well, Ohio State lost the conference game. They dropped. And they lost to the number two team in the nation, a close game. BYU lost their conference championship game, and they dropped. And they lost to Texas Tech, who's number three or four team in the nation. And same thing beat them already once. They dropped. Alabama loses and gets whacked. I mean, it was a bad, bad game, bad showing. They don't move. And they played a good team, too, in Georgia, but no better than Indiana and Texas Tech. So it leads people to worry about brand name biases and conference and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not accusing anybody of any of it, but that's the kind of things that open up speculation to people because it's just a bad system, a bad way of doing it. The group of five, they kind of had to do that or they would have never voted to have this playoff expansion. And they had to have them on board. But I don't know. I just think the whole process is flawed. And so I'm not criticizing Alabama for getting in. I'm not criticizing the group of five guys for getting in. I agree with you. Vandy and Notre Dame just might be two of the best teams in the top 12 for sure. We're on the other day, Gary, and a matrix guy, analytics. In 26 years, the national champion has either been ranked in the top three on offensive scoring efficiency or defensive scoring efficiency or both. Now, that's amazing. If you were not in the top three, you couldn't win the national championship. Now, does that mean somebody can't do it? Of course not. But top three in offense or defense or both. Notre Dame is one of five teams in America that can say that, and so is Vanderbilt. Mm. They're right top three offense. So in efficiency. So it just kind of goes to the fact that it's a bad system that picks the teams. So I agree with you. Those two teams could have been in it easily.
Yeah, one thing too, Coach, and I think you and I have discussed this before, is the setup, as you said, it just lends itself to a bad system because so much of this is being driven by money. I would love to see a 16-team playoff. I like the 4-team. I thought 4 was enough. But once you expanded, I'd rather see them go to 16, do away with the buys, do away with the conference championship games, give them a week off, you know, start playing 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, all the way versus, you know, 8 versus 9, play them on, you know, home campuses of the higher-seeded teams and go from there. That makes so much more sense to me. But they're not going to do away with the conference championship games because it's television inventory. It's another opportunity for revenue. You know, this whole system is about paying off the TV networks because they're paying so much money into college football. They want to spread this thing out. They want to take it into late January. And so that's what we do. I mean, it's ridiculous to me that the college football season isn't going to wrap up till January 19th. I mean, but it's going to stay that way because the money talks, right?
That's it. I agree with 1,000% with everything you just said. Money is ruling college football today, and it's always been important. You had to have it to be competitive, but it's really gotten to the point now where it's a singular focus. And I think it's going to be a cancer that eventually starts to damage the college level. It already has in some ways, but it's not apparent to the fan yet. But yeah, it's all about chasing the dollar, and they want to have it as an NFL type environment to some degree. Then the conferences want to hold on to their regional rivals and their championship games and so forth. So I don't know. I think it's just two trains that are going to come and hit together here in about 5-10 years. And I don't know where it's going, frankly.
SEC gets 5 teams in, though. So, you know, that's – I know Greg Sankey's pleased with that, and you could argue, that they should have gotten more, but the SEC leads the way. Now, I think – I still think the cream, I put Georgia in there, but I think two of the, you know, best teams in the country are still Indiana and Ohio State, and put Georgia in there. After that, I think Texas Tech, I haven't seen enough of Texas Tech. I know they got an expensive roster. I know they've been a pretty dominant football team. What do you know about the Red Raiders?
Don't know much more than you do, but I did watch them play that last game, and they are dominant on defense. They got playmakers. They got physical guys up front. That's where they put the bulk of the money when they went in the portal in the offseason. And they're good. And they're in the top 3 in the nation. They're one of those 5 teams I mentioned a while ago in 26 years, you know, being ranked O or D or both. It's Ohio State, Indiana, Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, and Notre Dame. Vanderbilt and Notre Dame are not in it. Now, I do think Georgia's playing top 3 football on the defensive side right now. And their offense has even gotten better, minus the game against Georgia Tech, because Gunner's throwing the ball downfield effectively. And now they've got running backs, and holes are opening. Everything's getting a little bit balanced. So, as far as right now, Ole Miss is playing, Georgia's playing top 3 football. But if you look at overall, they're not ranked in those stats either. But I think that right now, I would go with Ohio State, except I don't think their quarterback is a national championship player. And Indiana was able to affect him. And so he can be a liability for them. I don't think he's faced real good competition this year, but 2 times. Texas, they were able to overcome it in a home game. Indiana, he couldn't handle it. Best quarterback still in it's Indiana.
That's right. Yeah.
I think he's the best quarterback.
Yeah.
And they're playing great defense.
Yeah, people got to get over it. I'm with you. You know, this is a new world. I know saying Indiana is the best team in the country, just a lot of people still can't bring themselves to do it, but they better figure it out. I mean, you're right. Indiana is good. I mean, they are fast. They are physical. They got playmakers at receiver. And you're right, Mendoza, the quarterback, man, he's a stud. I'm not ready to pick it yet. I hadn't done a bracket yet, but right now I'm leaning toward Indiana. I mean, they're – And I'll, as a coach, I'll let you speak to the job that Kurt Cignetti did. I mean, you know, he was here under Saban for 4 years as a wide receivers coach, and he then went into the head coaching ranks and worked his way up from small school to bigger opportunities, and got to James Madison and built a powerhouse there that still sustains today, brought 15 players with him to Indiana, used the portal, used NIL, and just came in and called his shot. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a guy come in to one of the losingest programs in college football football history and say, you know, I win, Google me, and call it a shot. And it's an amazing story, Coach. I think, and Portal and NIL certainly made this possible. At the same time, it's got to be the greatest turnaround in college football history.
Oh, no doubt. And right now, in the last 5 years, he's as good a head coach as there is in America. And I put he and Kirby Smart right there at the top of the list. You know, a lot of people have won at James Madison. So when he won big there and then decided to leave and go to Indiana, I thought it was a bad move, Gary. And he's gone over there, and he is, because of the portal and NIL, gives a chance to do it. But, you know, a lot of people have spent a lot of money in the portal in the last 5 years, and it didn't hit because they made bad evaluations or they took bad characters. He's taking whatever resources they got, and he's got a hell of a roster. I do watch him, and just the eye test, they don't look like they got the same kids as Ohio State and Georgia and some of these guys. They look like they got a little bit more physical talent, but I'm telling you, these guys are well coached, mm-hmm. and they play fundamentally sound. I mean, angles to the ball on defense, execution of their blocks and all this kind of thing. It's just a well-oiled machine. And I go back, and he's got the best quarterback, I think, in the nation right now.
All right, I want to ask you.
Pavia's not in it.
Yeah.
Didn't get in.
Pavia's right there, too. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I want to ask you about the pressure to win. And granted, you know, the money is incredible what these guys are making. But with that comes pressure to win like we've never seen before. And the way that these programs are spending money, they want results, and they want them quickly. I mean, they look at what Kurt Cignetti's done. They look at what Texas Tech has done. So now when you hire one of these guys and you pay him that kind of money, you want to see a return on your investment, and you want to see it quickly. I'm just going to rattle this off to you because I did it out off memory earlier, but now I've looked it up. These are the jobs that have opened up this coaching cycle, Coach. It's unbelievable. Of course, Michigan being the latest. But Michigan, LSU, Florida, Penn State, Auburn, Ole Miss, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Arkansas, Kansas State, Michigan State, Kentucky, Iowa State, UCLA, and Cal. That's unbelievable to me. In James Franklin's case, he got fired at one school during the season and hired at another school in the same season. I mean, yeah, it's they're making a lot of money, but buddy, you gotta win, and you gotta win faster. They'll get you the heck out of there.
Yep, and don't think there aren't some more situations that will come up like more at Michigan. I hate to sound this way, but I mean, there'll be times where they'll say, hey, we don't want to pay this $40 million, this dude. Let's find some reason to void this contract. But to your point, we were talking about that a couple of days ago, and I really think, you know, I thought when you started having play players and you started to have all these big salaries coaches, I said, you know, somebody's going to have to slow down a little bit about pulling the trigger on these coaches too fast. But it's been just the opposite, Gary. I guess when these people are putting money in an NIL kid and the coach doesn't win, I think it's made them even less patient, just like you're saying, and less willing to wait the thing out. So it's really been the opposite of what I thought was going to start being a trend.
Jeez, it's unbelievable. Next week, Coach, we're going to dive into the playoff, particularly the first-round games, and get your thoughts on each game individually. So we'll save that. Just overall, now that the season, except for the postseason, has come to end, I do want to close by asking you about the bowls, because Saban predicted this, and I know some of the bowls are still tied into the playoff, but, man, it's – now listen, we got a bowl in Birmingham, and Montgomery is coming up between Jack State and Troy. There's going to be excitement for that game. You know, these are two old Gulf South Conference rivals, but a lot of these bowls, Coach, they can't even find people to play in them anymore.
No, it's really crazy. I mean, you get two teams, Kansas State, and I think it was at Iowa State, they took penalties instead of playing $500,000.
Yeah.
You know, and the word came out that the players did it. They didn't want to go. So, you know, nobody's going to do what the players don't want to do. You're not going to have a team. So it's just, I hate it. But when I grew up, Gary, there were about seven bowls. I'm a little older than you, but there were about seven bowls, and it was everything. And as it's moved along, even before the playoff came in, the bowls started getting, I think, too many, and they became meaningless when 6 and 6 teams started getting in. And then all of a sudden now the playoff comes. And if you're not in the playoff, you look at the bowls as a kind of an imposition. You know, it's taking up your time. You're not any better. You got 12 players that aren't going to play. So it's a kind of a trend that I think is very sad, but it doesn't surprise me at all. And I think they've been diluted for a long time.
Wow. All right, Coach. Great stuff, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, Gary.
Coach Ellis Johnson, 9:53. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of the show right after this break.
Home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
and online at 95.3thebear.com
and Tide100.9.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours.
Clinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to PrimetimeMensClinic.com.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
stuff we need for Christmas Day. Hams, turkeys, all of our vegetables. Cobblers, cookies, anything.
Merry Christmas from South's Finest Meats.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry. A mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 42 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Last Christmas.
All right, 9:58. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is coming up. The Gary Harris Show will continue.
CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
Fired head coach Sharon Moore was in custody at the Washtenaw County Jail Wednesday night as a suspect in alleged assault, just hours after the university announced he was being fired for what was, quote, an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. The Oklahoma City Thunder advanced to the NBA Cup semifinals for the second consecutive year, beating the Suns 138-89. This win tying Golden State, the 73-win Warriors, with a 24-1 start. SGA had 28 points and 8 assists. Chet Holmgren, 24-8 rebounds, 4-for-4 from 3. Broncos practice squad quarterback Sam Ehlinger reportedly turned down the Indianapolis Colts when they called and asked if he'd like to join their active roster. The team had hoped to sign him and Phillip Rivers, who did sign.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry. A mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 42 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show is on the air here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And we kick off this second hour with a very timely interview with D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. The Falcons on Thursday night, NFL football tonight on Prime, in Tampa against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and D. Orlando Ledbetter joins us from Florida. Hey, good morning, Orlando. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me this morning.
Good to have you. The Falcons have been reduced to trying to play spoiler, and that's what they could do tonight. They could, against their rival Bucks, they could really hurt Tampa Bay's playoff chances tonight if they could go down there and get a win. And other than playing for pride and maybe trying to play to keep your coach employed, there should be a lot of incentive to beat their rival Tampa Bay Bucks tonight. Do you think they'll be ready to go?
Yeah, I think they will. It's a Tampa Bay team that's in free fall. Also, they dropped 4 of their last 5. They're trying to stop the bleeding and, you know, reclaim their division title here. They're getting some big guns back today, Mike Evans and Tristan Wirfs. So they're going all in to try to beat down the Falcons and sweep the season series tonight. And the Falcons, like you said, are playing for pride. They want to mess things up for Tampa Bay because things are certainly messed up for themselves at this point.
Yeah, a little payback, too. A game the Falcons probably should have won against Tampa early this year. It's one of those woulda, couldas, and shouldas that had Atlanta won some of those games, maybe they would be in a different position than they are right now. So I think that ought to be on their minds as well, right?
Yeah, no doubt. They, you know, driving in, had a 44-yard field goal to force overtime. It kind of snatched momentum away. Michael Penix was moving the ball around to all of the receivers in that game. Bijan got loose for a 50-yard score. You know, stuff was, you know, they couldn't run the ball, but they were throwing it pretty good in that one. So they got to come here thinking, hey, we can move the ball on these guys and, you know, fight with them and go toe-to-toe after, you know, sweeping them last year.
You know, when you look at you know, get them next year type of thing, you wrote an interesting piece on the Falcons, how they're really not set up to be any better next year or for success, and really that it doesn't look like there's a plan within the organization. You're not really high on the Falcons' hopes going forward, are you?
No, it doesn't look good. The slate's not clean. You don't have draft picks. You don't have money. And, your players are not playing up to what you projected. Certainly on the offensive side of the ball, and your offensive line, which was your strength, is getting older. So, other than wishing for better and hoping for luck, there's nothing to point to for them getting a whole lot better next year.
Yeah, and what's remarkable is most organizations do try to excite their fans. They try to promise something, even when they're bad. And it doesn't appear and that's why I love having you on, because you cut through the bogus stuff and get to the heart of the matter. It doesn't really feel like, and I'm sitting here in Alabama trying to follow the Falcons, but reading some of your stuff, that the Falcons have a plan. I mean, it just feels like kumbaya. You know, we like our coach. The owner likes all the people in the organization. And so we're going to continue to believe that we've got the right people in place. And I don't think Falcons fans want to hear that, quite frankly. But I think Falcons fans are concerned that they're not going to do anything about this in the front office. They're just going to go ahead and roll it back one more time with this group.
Yeah, they are. Fans are pretty upset. And it seems like the Falcons are going to be doing the more cowbell. Will Ferguson will keep banging the cowbell some more until they get some W's out of it. But they backed themselves in the corner with some of the decisions that they've made. You know, getting a quarterback for 180 and then drafting another quarterback to kind of, you know, take you out of the quarterback meal for a couple of years. You got a coach that, he had a losing record. Tampa Bay, even if you don't look at Tampa Bay, he had a team off to a good start 2 years in a row and wasn't able to maintain it or even stop the slide here this year. So, there's some changes on the coaching staff that got to be made for sure, special teams and offense for sure. But as far as a massive blow-up, we don't see it, because he would have did that when he had a chance to get Belichick.
Right.
Unless that's changed in 2 years, we're trying to err on the side of, more cowbell is what we're anticipating at this point.
Just the poor fans of the Falcons. For the quarterback spot, because obviously they got stuck with Cousins with that contract, and then you draft Penix, you turn it over to Penix. They knew it when they drafted him. He's had a history of injuries, even though this is a different knee. As you've talked about, he's a lot older than the normal quarterback in his class. I guess I'm asking you, do they in the offseason look to go into a different direction quarterback-wise? You know, we've seen guys that washed out other places that have gotten a second opportunity, whether it be Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or the guy that just got hurt in Indianapolis, Daniel Jones. There are other guys out there that kind of, there's a Mac Jones who stepped up this year and showed that he's still got some life. Do you think the Falcons maybe would try to bring in another quarterback next year, or just try to get Penix healthy and bring him back? What do you think their quarterback plan will be?
Yeah, they said they got to be in the quarterback market, but that's not for a starter. That's for a stopgap guy until Penix gets healthy. It's not Kirk, because his number's 57 million.
Right.
So then you're looking at, the guys you said, Mac Jones, Jameis Winston. I don't think they're doing Russell Wilson at this point. That's the same thing as Kirk. But, there's some young guys, young guy on the staff, Kyle Trask, who was, a second-round pick with the Bucks. I mean, you got to take a look at him. He was, a second-round pick and so forth. So, you got to look at that whole group, and then, if Penix can't go, can you develop him into a starter? Mac Jones has been a starter before, so you can play with him. So that's where they're at with the quarterback situation. And then if Penix doesn't work out, you back in the quarterback market in 27 for sure. You got a first-round pick, and then you could do some things.
This is just crazy to me. I have you on every week, and Arthur Blank, by all accounts, is a generous man, great guy to work for, runs an incredible organization from how standpoint of how he treats people. He got to that one Super Bowl up 28-3. the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. And since that time, it's just been horrible. And, you know, he's on up there in age. You know, Jerry Jones doesn't mince words. He says, man, I know my age. I want to win one. There just doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency with Arthur Blank, and I can't figure it out. As successful as he's been in every walk of his life, how he just doesn't seem to be able to get this football organization on top, or at least, you know, other than a couple of seasons where they were really good for the most part, it's been a failed organization.
Yeah, he had football people, and he let them do their job. Now it's this collaboration. It's looking more like a business, Home Depot type setup, and which makes sense. He made $1 billion doing that, but that's not how you run a football team. It's not a collective. You got too many people cooking the meals there. So it hasn't worked. It has to do something different. And, you know, I was calling around to the league. I was like, hey, it's a hot mess down here. And they, I was tipped off and say, it starts with the top. And he's probably listening to his kids. So it starts with Arthur Blank and his family. And they got to get this thing turned around.
Remarkable stat time. Orlando, I seem to hit you with these every week, and you, of course, you already, I'm sure, know it. We've got two divisions in football, the AFC North and the NFC South, where none of the teams, none of the eight, have a plus point differential. I don't know that I've ever seen that with two complete divisions, that every team in those divisions has a negative point differential. Is that remarkable or what?
That is amazing, but at least the North, they can say it's cold and the guys are dropping the ball.
You can't say that in the NFC South. All right, a couple more questions for you before I let you go. Tonight's game, who do you like?
Yeah, I like the Bucs. They're reeling, though, but I like the Bucs because they could run the ball with Irvin and Rashard and Sean Tucker. And the Falcons can't stop the run. It's going to be a simple football here at the end of the season. Everybody's tired of all their special fly patterns and stuff that don't work. So, you know, just going to try to punch each other in the mouth. Be a real Thursday night punch out. And the Bucs seem to be a little bit bigger and tougher.
And lastly, you got the Bucs at 7-6. You got the Panthers at 7-6. Boy, what a deal this would be for the Panthers if they could somehow win this division. But identical records, who do you like to win the division?
Yeah, I was looking at it yesterday. I like the Panthers because they got two head-to-heads, and mm-hmm. they can't blow this game against Arizona this week. They can split with them. They're going to be the division champs and be one of the great comeback stories and go into playoffs and, be talking about a new future in Charlotte.
And last question, because obviously he coaches at St. Michael Catholic down in Mobile. He's from the state of Alabama. You talking about how difficult it can be to play quarterback in this league. The Colts have signed Phillip Rivers to come in and play quarterback. What do you think of that move?
Yeah, not a whole lot. Phillip is, Fairhope, I've been down there for the Senior Bowl practices, so know exactly where that is. But that's bad. That's a slap in the face to all these guys that they, that are out there. Cam Newton's upset. The Kaepernick people are back out. Matt Ryan says, I don't want nothing to do with coming back. I'm good. But, hey, if the guy can play, George Blanda played in his 40s, I believe, early 40s. If he can get out there and not get in danger and throw it around, they're really desperate up in Indianapolis at this point.
All right. You just, Yeah, George Blanda, I mean, of course, Brady played at a high level before. I think Blanda, and I'd have to look it up, Orlando, I think he actually might have been 48 years old before he finally retired. I know it was at least 46, but to be out 5 years like this and come back, we've not seen anything like it for a guy his age to come back after 5 years. It'll be something to watch, that's for sure. Hey, thank you, Orlando. Tell everybody where they can get all the great AJC.com information and all the Falcons coverage that you do.
Yeah, at AJC.com, that's our website for our subscribers, and we love them. On Twitter at @TheOrlandoAJC, and you can get our Dirty Birds Dispatch newsletter every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock.
Thanks, Orlando.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, have fun at the game. Before we hit the break, I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Game Day Men's Health offers convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Hey, listen, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What can you expect from Game Day Taylor's men's health plans? How about boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery, and yes, even natural hair regrowth support. Get by and see them. They've got a beautiful clinic with an expert staff, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa, and tell them that Gary Harris sent you. Men, you don't have to be down in the dumps. You don't have to lack energy. You don't have to dread getting up and going to work. You can get yourself energized and feel like a brand new man. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health.
Real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the Tuscaloosa Thread, headlines. After an investigation by Tuscaloosa Police and Secret Service, a federal grand jury in Birmingham has charged a Chinese national with possessing counterfeit gift cards. Legislation aimed at stopping porch pirates, co-sponsored by Bibb County Senator April Weaver, now in effect.
It was just really important to protect the people, not only of my district, but throughout the state of Alabama.
Repeated violations are now
paper patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy.
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content. On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Time of the year, lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow. But I'm a
1022, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to jump out on the hotline and get some phone calls in, Tom, and then Robbie. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Gary, you're not going to believe what just happened.
All right, hang on, let me take a guess. Hold on. You're outside, right?
I know Chase has already told you.
No, he has not told me. I have no clue.
Okay, go ahead. I want to hear your
guess. Are you outside?
No.
Oh, you're inside. So, okay. I thought maybe you saw a wild animal down there in Pickens County, maybe a bear or a coyote or something like that. So, it wouldn't be that.
Please, no.
You just won something in the lottery. I don't know. You're going to have to tell me.
NASCAR and 2311 and Front Row just came to an agreement. The trial is over.
Well, I wish I had. I should have known that. I should have been. Well, give me the results because I have no idea what they come. What?
Well, you know, day before yesterday and yesterday, Mr. Jim Frantz was on the witness stand, and 2311 in Front Row called him as a witness, and they grilled him pretty good, and. And then NASCAR got up there, and the point of contention has always been the charter. How far, how long the charter is going to be. You know, Mr. France was advocating a two-year charter, and the race teams were wanting lifetime. They granted 36 charters back in the day to some of the guys that were the pioneers of NASCAR, and they granted them those charters, which cost nothing at the time,
they've granted them lifetime charters, you know, Junior Johnson and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it went from being worth zero to millions, right? And they sold their charters, and that was their retirement money.
Right.
And so, you know, they had Mr. Jim on there, and they were grilling him. He was talking about his business practices, what his daddy taught him, what his mother taught him. He wasn't going to guarantee anything that he couldn't see the end to. Anyway, he was really good, and I think that they come in there, and Heather Gibbs, she had used the term evergreen on the chart, and that was another way of stating the conditioning of the chart. Anyway, all that got mixed up there and together, and this morning a mediator walked in there and said, the deal's done. It's over. Trial. We've come to an agreement between the team and Miss France and NASCAR, and we're ready to move on.
Well, we will. I'm sure we will never know the terms. I'm sure that'll be kept private.
Never know. They said the monetary discussion will never be made public.
But we've settled it, which is good. This thing did not need to linger into 2026, so they got it taken care of before the holidays.
What I was scared of was they were going to burn NASCAR down. I was really terrible.
I know you were, and I'm glad they got it. That's what I'm saying. This is the best-case scenario, and everybody can have a Merry Christmas now, and I appreciate you calling in and breaking that news, Tom, because I did not I was not aware of that. I've been reading out so much college football stuff that I let it slip through.
Well, I knew that, but I knew you had – you know, a passing interest in this product.
Oh, absolutely. Sure, of course. I mean, I'm one of the few, we do one of the few NASCAR segments you're going to hear on the radio. So, and we'll crank it back up. You know, we usually crank it up about 2 weeks out from Daytona. So it'll be back before you know it.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Tom. Great call. Appreciate that info. Breaking news, NASCAR and 2311 Racing, owned by Michael Jordan, have settled their lawsuit. All right, let's get to Robbie. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man.
Good. Well, you know, I'm like everybody, getting a little frustrated with how we've been playing lately. But, you know, defense is still playing lights out. But when I heard Coach Ellis talking, just had me thinking, and I've been thinking about it nonstop. I talked about it a little bit yesterday with Kristen. You know, the game has changed so much, and not just football, basketball, but also baseball. You know, I come on here and talk baseball with you a lot, and we had Coach Vaughn even actually say something about it, about not what I said, but he said, we got to do a better job of manufacturing some runs. You know, playing small ball, the home run's not always going to be there, and that's what everything's changed to now. You know, bunting guys over, hit and run, manufacturing runs when that long ball's not there. Basketball the same way, it's changed. But got to do a little old school when that shot's not falling. Box out, get on the floor, get the trash points that you can until your shot starts falling. Well, the same with football that I feel. The game's changed so much, but I still think it's the same. And Coach Ellis brought up that we need to run. It just made me think, I wish we could get some old school coaches in there to talk to some of these coaches and say, hey, this is what we used to do, and it still works. You know, when Ty's having trouble getting the pass out, can we not mix in some sweeps, some draws, some screens, just to get these running backs going, get Ty comfortable? And what about the old school shuffle pass? You know, I know if you can't just go throw them in there because it takes time to develop these and get the linemen learning how to block it. But if we're working all this time blocking on or working on getting our big tackle out there and into the receiver, well, we have time to work on the basic plays of old school. What do you think about that? Like, does that make sense? Like, I know we just can't go throw it in there, but we can work on that and try to get these our players, our playmakers, getting the ball where they're comfortable instead of running the ball up the middle, getting them out in a sweep where they're electric and they can make stuff happen. Does that – you follow me?
Yeah, I do, and I hope, Robbie, that they're looking at all that. I mean, that's – you know, you played Saturday night. You got 13 days between games, and I hope that this week, as a coaching staff, they've been doing a lot of self-scout and looking at tendencies and looking at ways to be more effective. And as you said, I think that you're dead on with, You got to give your playmakers an opportunity. I mean, you got to get them. There can't be so much traffic around the ball all the time. So I'm with you. I think you got to figure out a way to try to get these guys into a little more open space, because it just seems like lately everything's been congested. I'm with you. I mean, whether it's been a hitch route or the run game, it seems like the guy gets the ball in his hands and he's just surrounded by defenders. You'd occasionally like to have a guy get the ball in his hands and there'd be a little, you know, be a little opening there, you know? So I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, we ran that one play where, and I talked about it before, but where Ty, you know, didn't make a good pass out there to Hill. You know, that little swing pass, it was third and three or something, and Daniel Hill couldn't get to it. It wasn't a good pass. But I think if that was to A.K. Deere, who's a little bit quicker on his feet, can adjust because he's not 250 pounds, he probably could have caught that ball. So I think if we would have had that play called with the right personnel back there, that would have busted open. I just wish we could do some stuff like that. Let's get AK Deere out in the open and see what he can do without running up the middle, where if that hole's not there, he's not gonna use his weapons. He can't get through there. Daniel Hill can, but he can't. So that's all. It's just frustrating. We can beat it to the end of the ground, but like I said, I talk about it in baseball all the time. Like, man, come on, put this guy over. The next guy will get him in, and we don't. So same philosophy in all the sports. Just go back a little old school and grind out the win, and I think we can do that against Oklahoma. I hope we get all our weapons back, but if we don't, we're going to have to manufacture some yards.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you, Gary.
Appreciate it, man. All right, 10:31 here on the Gary Harris Show, and lunch is right around the corner. I got so many great places that I enjoy for lunch, and I want you to try out Rock and Roll Sushi right there on University Boulevard. And man alive, I love me some sushi, but I love those lunch hibachi bowls that they have, the grilled chicken, shrimp, steak, and can't beat it. Lunch specials at Rock and Roll Sushi downtown on University Boulevard. All right, we're going to come back with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 sports anchor, talking a little ball with Spiegs next, right here.
The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch soup, salad, or sandwich combo. I'll see you at the Free.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
and provide you with the lowest possible price. Come experience the Urban's Working Western Home Team service today. Tell them Van the Boot Man sent you. Roll Tide.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out.
417-6411 and give us your answer.
The proceeding is not a contest and is a paid advertisement by Family Vacation Getaways and not sponsored by this program or its affiliates.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome in Jeff Spiegel to the show, longtime sports anchor at ABC 3340, host of the EOG Wrap on Saturday nights, and a weekly guest here on my show. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Hey, good, Gary. I know when you're 2 or 3 minutes late calling me that it's been a busy show.
Yeah, it's been hectic, to say the least. We got so much to cover, in fact, but I want to start with backtrack a little bit to the SEC championship game. And I know you were back in the studio. I saw Johnny and Jamie there, and I was there. And I guess the thing that that was disappointing was not that Alabama lost the game. I mean, Georgia's a really good team, but I sensed that there just wasn't a lot of energy from Alabama. And, you know, when it got to be 14-0, it just kind of felt like the air went completely out of the tires. And that, you know, I know they were out there playing hard. I don't mean to say that they weren't, but it just didn't seem like they had the juice and the energy. And get, granted, you know, Georgia was getting a second crack at Alabama, just like they did in the 2021 season. The only time Kirby's beaten Alabama, I guess we could say now, is when he's got a second crack at him. But I was a little disappointed in just, even with the injuries, the energy, particularly offensively, it just didn't seem like Alabama had the juice the other night. And I know you weren't there, but, you know, your reaction to that.
Well, I think when you get off to the horrible start that they did, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the fact that, you know, let's just call it what it is. Georgia has improved a lot more than Alabama has since September. I mean, Georgia has improved tremendously, especially, yeah, I would say their defense has improved, you know, 50-60%. And they got after Ty Simpson. And they, I mean, at one time in the game, there were 18 pressures. You know, that they kept in on the stats there. So, you know, it was a tough day for him. And you mentioned the injuries. And one of the reasons they got off to a horrible start, you know, you think of LT Overton not being there and you think, well, that's a guy who's missing a missing piece on the defensive line. But he was also in there for punt protection.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who took his place kind of, you know, messed up. And so you got a block punt, and then Georgia punches it in, and then, you know, Ty throws a pick and Georgia punches it in again. And then, you know, before you know it, you're down 14-0. And Gary, I don't know how you felt, but 14-0 at that point felt like 28-0.
It did to me for sure.
Yeah. Because Alabama couldn't get anything going. And I'll say this, Alabama would not have scored in that game had it not been for number 15 for Georgia screwing up a couple of times on that drive.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I said at the game, Jeff, when it was 14-0 at half. I said, Georgia knows they're going to win. Alabama knows Georgia's going to win. And everybody in this stadium knows Georgia's going to win. It felt like it was over. And any chance that Alabama had, I thought, was contingent on them coming out to that opening drive of the third quarter. And they went 3-and-out. You know, and it was pretty much over. Hey, but the good news is, as you and I expected, Alabama got into the college football playoff. Five SEC teams did. Crimson Tide gets new life, and they've got a familiar foe. Again, an Oklahoma team that beat them last year, beat them earlier this season in Tuscaloosa, and now is trying to beat the Tide for a third time in 13 months. And I know we'll talk more about it next week, but just, 8 days out, what do you think Alabama needs to do? Get fixed to have a chance to go to Norman and win next Friday night?
Well, my initial thoughts is that right after they got in the playoff and people were kind of dogging them and saying, oh, they backed in and all that stuff. My initial thought was that no football team in America needs a reset more than Alabama did. I mean, they're physically beat up, they're mentally beat up, they're emotionally beat up, and they need a break. I mean, they needed a rest. And I know they got finals going on this week, but they needed to be away from the football field and just kind of recharge the batteries, get as healthy as they can. And I really think, you know, you get them back on the field after a break like that. I mean, I really think they could make a run very similar to what Ohio State did last year. So, I mean, I wouldn't count them out to, you know, to run the table. Having said that, I mean, Georgia to me looks like, you know, the best team in the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are a lot of good football teams in this playoff. So, you know, but I like Alabama's chances. What do they have to do to beat Oklahoma? Take care of the football. Don't turn the ball over. They outgained them 406-212, you know, when they played in Tuscaloosa.
Sure did.
So if there's any game you look on the schedule and you go, how did they lose that game? You know, it's that one. And then, you know, turnovers are going to be critical. Now, Oklahoma's going to try to turn them over again because they've got the defense that can do it. So, ball security is going to be the key a week from Friday.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned so many good teams in this playoff and going to the Big Ten. I still, Jeff, think people are having a hard time wrapping their arms around Indiana because of what Indiana had been until Kurt Cignetti got there. And yet, here they are, the number one seed, waiting on the winner of Alabama and Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. And this is a team that, you know, I still think people are having a hard time believing in them because everybody was like, well, their schedule's weak, even though they went to Oregon and won. And then I think the feeling was, well, they'll run into Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and they'll get exposed. They won the game. And they want to head up. And, I mean, whether people like it or not, Jeff, and I'm not saying they're going to win the national championship. That's not what I'm saying. But you gotta adjust your thinking. Indiana is legit. This is, and I know the portal played a big part in that. You know, Cignetti brought 15 players with him from James Madison. They put, give them credit, they put an NIL package together. They've got the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, I think. But this is the greatest turnaround in the history of college football.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Cignetti is obviously, you know, pushed all the right buttons there. Mendoza's having a terrific year. The first time I really got to watch them a great deal, and I didn't watch the whole game, was, you know, the Ohio State game. You know, I saw the comeback against Penn State, which was, you know, terrific. But yeah, this is a great football team. They've got good balance. They can run it. You know, they can throw it. You know, and you know, they you could go, well, look, you know, they don't play week in and week out a tough schedule like the SEC. You know, they beat who they were supposed to beat, and in most cases, you know, it was pretty convincing. So yeah, I mean they're a good football team. Now, can Alabama beat them, you know, on a neutral field, you know, which is about as neutral as you could get, Pasadena, California. I mean, I think they can, but Indiana's going to be a handful for anybody they play in the playoff. I think they're really, really good.
All right, I want to ask you about the Notre Dame reaction. You know, to set it up for you, first of all, I think Notre Dame is one of the 12 best teams in the country. I think Vanderbilt is. I mean, as I said earlier on my show today, this isn't about the 12 best teams. And this is no offense to Tulane and James Madison. I give them a ton of credit. If it was, you wouldn't have two G5 teams in the playoff. But Notre Dame didn't get in, and they took their ball, and they went home. And then you contrast that with Vanderbilt and Clark Lee's response about, you know what, we didn't do enough. We want to play as many football games as we can. I understand Notre Dame is Notre Dame, and they set themselves aside. If they were really interested about getting in the playoff on a consistent basis, they would have gotten a conference. Although now next year they've got a thing written in that if they're one of the top 12 seeds, they automatically get in. But I think it's impacted some people. Because everything that, or a lot of the things that Nick Saban said have come true very quickly, that if you don't make the playoff, the bowls are going to, you know, not mean as much. And Notre Dame thumbing their nose at playing another game, I think, is rubbing people the wrong way. Your take on this Notre Dame situation?
Well, look now, if you're going to be mad at people who turn down, you know, bids for bowl games, there's a long list, right? But Notre Dame is certainly at the top of that list. And one of the advantages of not being in a conference is, you know, you can thumb your nose at a bowl game and not have to pay a penalty like the two teams in the Big 12 have been fined like $500,000 each. You know, Kansas State and Iowa State. Notre Dame doesn't have to answer to anybody, you know, except Notre Dame. But one of the disadvantages about not being in a league is that you get what you got, you know, this year. You know, if they were in the ACC, you know, would they have clocked Virginia? Probably. And won the ACC title, and then they'd be in the playoff, no questions asked. But you know, they didn't. You know, they've always had that opinion that, you know, they don't need to be in a league. They're independent. And so, you know, you kind of get what you get, you know, when you're in a situation like that. But, no, this is the year, Gary, where – you know, you could have had a 16-team playoff, and it would have been so much fun to see what a run Notre Dame could have gone on, to see what a run Vanderbilt could have gone on, to see what a run Arch Manning and Texas could have gone on. Mm-hmm. Because Arch Manning, it took him a while, but Arch Manning is an incredible quarterback right now. Texas could have gone on a deep run in this playoff. So this is a year where you could have had a 16-team playoff, no doubt.
Well, we need it. I mean, I didn't want to expand from four. I still like the BCS. But once you expanded, Jeff, you and I have talked about this, it makes no sense to go to 12 and not go to 16. you know, I don't like the bias to begin with. Of course, they're not going to do away with the conference championship games. That's an issue. But in perfect world, they would do away with the conference championship games. You'd finish the season. You'd take a week off. You'd play 1 versus 16 all the way down to 8 versus 9. You'd play 8 games on the home campus of the higher-seeded teams, and you'd get it down to 8, and you'd go. And you'd try to finish this thing up, you know, maybe the first week in January instead of January 19th. But as we know, they're not interested in being efficient. They're not interested they're interested in money and conference championship games generate money. Spreading this playoff out for television inventory generates money. So common sense, Jeff, is never going to be the highest priority. This is a money grab at every level, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't disagree with anything you just said. I mean, it's so true. I mean, college football fans, you know, will get what they want if it lines up with how much money, the NCAA or wants to make, or these football teams or schools want to make, you know, off of the playoff.
You know, the bowls have been diminished. There's no doubt about it. But we are excited in this state that we get one of the state of Alabama's greatest rivalries going back to the Gulf South Conference this coming Tuesday night in Montgomery and the Salute to Veterans Bowl, Troy versus Jack State. Now, that game's going to have some juice, Jeff.
Now, I love it. I love that. Who would have thought that there would be a more compelling matchup in the Veterans Bowl than the Birmingham Bowl, right?
Right.
I mean, how many people are excited about Georgia Southern App State? Raise your hand.
Not many.
No one. No one. But Jack State and Troy, Gary, I don't want to wax poetic here, but I went to school for 2 years at Jack State at the height of the Jack State Troy rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And every year that we would play Troy, or the 2 years that I was there, everyone would walk around campus with whoop Troy buttons.
Oh yeah.
In fact, they declared December 16th, the city of Jacksonville did, whoop Troy Day. So it's magical. It's going to be awesome. I mean, I can't wait for it. I can't wait to see it. And, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Looking forward to it. And also, Jeff, a couple coaching hires right there in Birmingham. Boy, I'm so happy that Alex Mortensen got the UAB job. I want to get your thoughts on that. And then John Gross taking over at Samford.
Yeah, I loved it. I love the fact that they went to Alex. It really, I'll tell you the truth, Gary, I think Alex was the only option. You know, because, that job is so unattractive right now.
Right, that's true.
I mean, they were having a hard time, you know, getting people to be interested in it. I'm sure they'll tell you differently, but they're not speaking the truth. Alex Mortensen was the only option. And John Gross, I mean, welcome back to the head coaching business. He did a wonderful job at Jack State. At Jack State, when they made the move, you know, to big boy football, you know, they decided to go in another direction and go with Rich Rod, and that was certainly their prerogative. But, you know, John went to Clemson, worked with Dabo Swinney for 4 years, and now he's back at Samford at a level where, you know, he feels really comfortable. You know, the FCS, and, you know, there's not all the, you know, the NIL and all that stuff. Guys are playing for, like, the true love of the game. And, he looked like a very happy man at that press conference. And it's great to have him back in the FCS.
I'm with you, man. And, I do want to see if Mort can, and I guess we can call him Mort. That's what we call his dad. If Mortensen can, you're right, UAB's in a bad spot. But he just seems, he's only 40 years old, Jeff, but he seems to have a just a maturity, just a calmness about him that makes me, and he understands the situation that he's in. I feel like if anybody can get them kind of headed in the right track, they've got the guy. And you're right, maybe he got the job by default, but I think this might be best case scenario for UAB, Jeff. I really do.
Well, Gary, you look at what they did, and I think this is what got him the job. You look at what he did when they went to Tulsa, and look, Tulsa's not a great football team.
But still,
Tulsa was probably in the same boat as UAB. But if you looked at the availability report before they went to Tulsa, there were so many guys out. There were like 30 guys out. I mean, they just barely had enough guys to take over there and play a football game. But they went over to Tulsa, won their first road game in 1,099 days. And I think that's what got him the job, mm-hmm. being able to hold that together and get that win. And I think that convinced, Mark Ingram to go with Alex, and I think Alex is going to do a great job there.
All right, and lastly, in this day and age in Alabama, basketball is always lurking even during football season, and a big game Saturday night at Legacy Arena with Alabama and Arizona. The Tide is ranked number 12, but they get a crack at the number one team in the country in a positive environment. This would be a huge win, put Alabama back in the top 10 if they could get it, Jeff.
Well, I think Arizona's starting to separate themselves. You know, they're looking like the number one team, and they certainly, clocked Auburn, Saturday by 29 points. And they're great. And it would be incredible, if Alabama could beat them. My hope is that, Legacy Arena is just a sea of crimson. There's no excuse not to pack that place and make Arizona, kind of feel the heat, feel the pressure. I think it's going to be a great environment. It's going to be a late tip. 8:30 tip, but I think it's going to be just an awesome atmosphere, and I expect Alabama to play well.
All right, we got Army Navy this weekend, but the playoff does not crank up. What's the plan for the EOG wrap going forward?
Well, we've got the LA Bowl Saturday, and we're going to be doing an EOG wrap after that show.
Okay.
We're also going to be doing a special Friday edition after the Alabama-Oklahoma game. So we're going to keep EOG and Gary through all the way through the national championship game. So we're excited about it.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, 10:52. We'll take a timeout, and we'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Gary Harris Show. It's been busy this morning, but we'll have a wrap for you when we come back.
Don't let the sound. In pints of our famous house-made sauces. Please any crowd with the easiest party upgrade of the season. Order at foosackleys.net or the Foo app.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour special.
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timmerson Square.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, below 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly and there it's it.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
All right, 10:56, just in time for Christmas. The $99 suit sale continues at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. Get by and see Tom and get hooked up for the holidays, gentlemen. Get ready for those Christmas parties with a $99 suit from T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. All right, we're going to put a wrap on this edition of the Gary Harris Show. I'll be back tomorrow morning for the TGIF edition at 9 a.m. Hoping to have Adam Amin from Fox Sports join us, Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report, and more. And again, catch me on the local news. I'm doing the news for now at WVUA 23. So join me tonight for your local news coverage. And as I said, back here tomorrow, getting ready for a weekend. It's a beautiful day outside. I never really have engaged Chase this morning. Chase, I'm loving this weather. Yeah, it's chilly, but when you get out there in that sunshine, it feels good.
Nothing like some vitamin D.
I mean it. It just improves your outlook on life. All right, Chase is going to stay with you with the Miller's Edge coming up at 11 a.m. The Deep South College Football Show from 1 until 2 with Wyatt Fulton. And from 2 until 6, Ryan Fowler will take you home with the game this afternoon. And we start back our all-day, all-local sports talk lineup in the morning with Martin Houston from 6 until 7, Whippenberry inside the locker room, 7 until 9. And as I said, I'll be with you tomorrow for the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show beginning at 9 a.m. All right, I want to thank all our great sponsors that make the show possible. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Talk to you again in the morning.